Welcome to the Pursuing Faith podcast, where we explore questions of faith, doubt, and life. I am your host, Dominic Doan. Hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Hope you're having a wonderful week. And I'm down here in our basement of our house, which is where I record most of our podcasts. And it kind of feels like March of the Penguins in here because it is so cold. We just had this snowstorm. Maybe you heard about it in the news. It's kind of typical for this time of year in Colorado. It's our first Colorado winter, so we have a lot to get used to. It got down to like 20 below for a couple days, snow everywhere. In fact, I'm looking outside the window and there's still a bunch of snow on the hills and roofs of houses in our neighborhood. And then just a couple days ago, the icing on the cake, so to speak, our heater in our house gave out. So the theme right now is layers. In fact, Elisa walked into my office a little while ago and I'm like bundled under this massive blanket with a jacket on and sweatshirt on trying to type, which makes me all the more excited to give you our speaking schedule update because there is some sun on the horizon. Now, this weekend, if you live in Colorado Springs, I'll be teaching at an amazing church. It's called Rocky Mountain Calvary. Their Saturday night service and their Sunday services. Hope you can join us February 12th and 13th. And then next weekend, oh my goodness, really looking forward to this, heading to sunny Southern California, Costa Mesa, and I'll be teaching at what's called an Expositors Collective. And this is a group of pastors and leaders who gather together in different cities. In fact, we had one out here a few months ago in Colorado Springs. Now, the next one is in Costa Mesa. And it's a time to gather, refresh, look at scripture, have some teaching and prayer. That's the 18th and 19th in February. If you happen to be in that area, if you're in ministry, if you are a pastor, we would love to see you. And then on the 20th, I'll be teaching at a church called Zion. And this is a relatively new church in San Clemente that's just taking off right now. It's exploding, tons of young people, tons of energy and momentum, and I can't wait for that. So that's February 20th. If you happen to be in the San Clemente area, please come out and say hi. And like always, if you want more info where we're speaking next, check out our website. It's pursuingfaith.org. Well, in today's podcast, I want to share with you a special announcement, and then I want to share a little bit of the backstory to the announcement. And here's the announcement. As of today, my new book is available for pre-order. So you can go on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your book, local Christian bookstore. Although I guess there aren't too many local Christian bookstores anymore. There's not many bookstores for that matter at all anymore. But wherever you get your books, it is available and it's called Your Longing Has a Name. The subtitle is Come Alive to the Story You Were Made For. This is a book that is all about how your soul can flourish in difficult times. And I poured everything I had into this book. I think it was Hemingway who said, there is nothing to writing. All you do is sit down at a typewriter and bleed. And that was kind of my experience. I don't think I've ever worked so hard on a project. I gave it everything I had. Lots of sleepless nights, prayers, tears, wrestling with scripture and theology and history and culture. I mean, this was a project where I really agonized over every word, every sentence, because the reason I poured so much into this is I believe that what we unpack in this book and the scriptures that we look at in this book can really help our soul to flourish in hard times. As you'll see, this is a very personal book. A lot of it came from our own season of heartache and challenges over the last few years. And I share some of those stories. But I know for a ton of people, for a ton of you, This is kind of the water you're swimming in right now, because these last few years have been really, really tough. I mean, you look at all we've gone through, a pandemic and the toll that that's taken on our economic, physical, and emotional lives, the sting of pent-up grief and loss. 72% of Americans know someone who died during the pandemic. In our family, we had several family members who passed away during the pandemic. You think about the mental health struggles. 1 in 4 are struggling with mental health. Trying to navigate work, school, church via Zoom. That's been interesting. And then not to mention the racial, social, political, and global tensions and all that's messed up in the world right now. I mean, you look out at the world and it's disorienting. There is a lot that's going on that ought to trouble us, whether it's the attacks on free speech and how we're careening as a culture towards a real life 1984, if you've read that book, or the tension of with Russia and Ukraine, or the irony of progressive billion-dollar companies who are profiting off of the Olympics, while in the same country, the Uyghur people are being oppressed and tortured. You look at the direction that our country is taking morally, or what's going on in the environment and the natural world. There's some really weird stuff happening. I came across this one article that when I first saw it, I did a double take because I thought it was a joke or a spoof or something from the Babylonian Bee. But it was true. That the headline said, "Monkeys blamed for hundreds of puppy deaths in India." Did you guys see this? It was so crazy. Basically, the story, true story out of India, a dog killed a baby monkey and the rest of the monkeys were so upset. They all got together. They had this convention or something and they killed 250 dogs in this village by taking them to the top of buildings and trees and dropping them to their deaths. I mean, horrible. You know, Bella's here in the room. She does not like that story. And I've read that. I'm like, are you serious? We're living in Planet of the Apes. There's so much chaos. It is no wonder the people are having a hard time. This has been a season, a few years of turmoil at every level, and our souls feel it. You know, the New York Times, they described our emotional state in this moment as languishing. 75% of Americans are overwhelmed by stress. 72% are exhausted. 68% feel defeated. 67% struggle with loneliness. 48% say they're hopeless. And you read these stats, and maybe for you, it's not just a stat. It's something you're living in. It's something you've gone through. Maybe this has been a season of languishing, of lostness, of heartache, of pain in your relationships with others, your friendships. Maybe your walk with the Lord has suffered. You know, I got a text the other day from a close friend. He said, "Can you pray for me? It has been a such hard couple of years for me spiritually." Another friend, I asked him, "Hey, how you doing?" And it wasn't just, "Hey, what's up? What's going on? I'm good." No, it was like, "Really, how are you doing?" And his response was, "I just feel so empty." Can you relate to this? Are you in that space of hurting, lostness, languishing? Here's the tension that we all feel as followers of Jesus. And I unpack this in the first part of the book because there are so many people who are hurting, struggling, going through these difficult seasons. But when you look in the Bible, you see that God kind of describes a vision for our souls that is entirely different than the reality that many of us are experiencing. Instead of languish, what we see in the Bible is God wants us to flourish. Instead of emptiness, God wants us to thrive. And you come across these verses and it can be really disorienting or paradoxical because you're like, "I'm not experiencing this." John 10, for example, Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly." Or think of the invitation of Matthew 28, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you" what? Rest. Or the beautiful promise of Numbers chapter 6, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you." Or 3 John, it says, "I pray that your soul would prosper." Psalm 115 is another prayer. "May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children." And I don't know about you, but when you read verses like this, and there are dozens and dozens of them in the Bible, it's almost like there's a disconnect, or at the very least, a tension between what we see happening in the world or what's going on in our emotional or spiritual life, what's broken, what's wrought with pain, and what God is promising. God is saying that we can flourish inwardly. Jesus promised us the abundant life. He invited us to rest. And yet, what many of us have experienced is anything but that. And you see, this is important. I unpack this. This is why the Bible's promises are so subversive, at least by the modern definitions of what we call flourishing. You know, the word flourishing you see everywhere right now, and people tend to define flourishing as, you know, self-focused feelings, UBU slogans, make your wildest dreams come true. And yet when you look at the Bible, it's an entirely different understanding of flourishing. It's far vaster and deeper, more authentic, more beautiful. It's knowing and being known by the one who breathed life into you. You see, the flourishing of God is found not just beyond the pain. If I just get past this, if I just endure this, if I can make ends meet, if the pandemic ends, if there's peace in the world. No, the blessing of God, the flourishing of God isn't found beyond the pain, but within the pain. Even when you're flanked by heartache and sorrow, did you know that your soul can still thrive? Did you know that you can flourish, the inner you, the true you, can flourish regardless of what life throws at you? And you see, that is what this book is all about. My hope, my heart, is that this would bring healing to those who have been in that space of languishing. In the words of Jürgen Moltmann, he was a famous theologian. He said, "God weeps with us so that we may one day laugh with him." My prayer is that it would restore your joy, your hope, your soul, that it would help you flourish and come alive to the story that you were made for. So if this sounds at all like something you could benefit from, that could edify or encourage you, or if there's someone that you know that could benefit from this, it is available now for pre-order. We'll put the link in the podcast notes, but I just want to wrap up this episode by reading to you a portion from chapter 2. You may look at your soul and feel frustrated, drained, weary, and ready to give up. Maybe your soul is hurting because you just went through a breakup or a divorce. Your coworkers disappointed you. Your best friend turned on you. Maybe you're battling depression, lost a loved one or a job, or have been burned by the church. Or maybe all you see is how incomplete, immature, or imperfect you are. Fear loves to remind you of how impossible the journey will be. Start anyway. God meets you in the place of your deepest wounds and says, "My grace is enough." And he invites you to join him in cultivating the part of you that's longing to flourish, your soul. Following Jesus isn't a quick fix. It's a journey, an invitation to learn and grow. It's a slow, aching, desperate for grace process of being shaped into the image of God. But the journey is why you're here. It's why he created you. It's how he sees you. And someday in eternity, it's how you'll see yourself. But until then, we step towards his beautiful vision.